Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Just to spend a little time in Acts chapter 19, we'll get back there in a couple weeks. But Paul, coming to a new city or a newer city, he finds disciples who have not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, and he tells us just by his dialogue with these disciples that there is a progression for believing. See, for those of us that have said yes to Jesus Christ, if you've said yes to Jesus and you've given him your life, make some noise in the house today. Praise God. We are in the right place. There's a progression to that. Someone told you about Jesus. You stumbled into a church service like this. You were watching a podcast or stumbled onto Christian television, or someone invited you to a church service. Somewhere along the way, you heard the gospel preached, and you heard it preached in such a way, and God's Spirit began moving on you in such a way that you decided to say yes to Jesus. That is the progression. However, we want to encourage you at Living Way, that is not where it stops, praise God. The cross is where it starts. But there is another step, and Paul alludes to this step when he says, I know you're disciples, but have you received the Holy Ghost? Which leads me to a point in just a moment. You getting saved and you being filled with the Holy Ghost are two distinct experiences. They're not the same. You can receive them at the same time, but there is a difference. Have you received the power since you believe is the most important question you will ever answer after you have said yes to Jesus. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is one of the most divisive and misunderstood topics in the church today. How many of you know somebody that is freaked out when you start talking about speaking in tongues? Just raise your hand. How many of you used to be that person? Raise your hand. How many of you are currently that person? Raise your hand. When you start talking about speaking in a language that you have never learned, and you hear people do that, it is unnerving and makes people uncomfortable. If you were here a few weeks ago, Sister Gloria Zamanipas gave us a word from God, and it was in English, y'all, and it still unnerved people. One of our first-time guests that joined, one of my friends, they leaned over while she was giving that word and said, I think someone needs to help her. No, we didn't need to help her. The Holy Spirit was doing a good job all by himself. But I remember as a kid, invite my friends to church from high school and junior high and begging them to come. And finally, on the Sunday they showed up, it was one of those services. People running the aisles, people falling out, people speaking in tongues, and me just staring straight ahead like, why did I bring them on this day? And as I prepared this series, my prayer is, God, don't let me just preach and shout and get excited about the power of the Holy Spirit. But since we have a lot of new believers and a lot of new Living Way family, Lord, let me teach it in such a way that it is not scary, it is not weird, it is not something that is unsettling, but Lord, it is so inviting that hundreds of people over the next 4 weeks will be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in another tongue, and I believe it will change their life, your life. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there are so many schools of thought. I've literally heard pastors say that to speak in tongues is to be demon possessed. I don't know how you can arrive at that thought when you read the Word of God, especially the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, but some would believe that. There's others who would say that it was just for the 12 disciples turned apostles. However, I want to remind you that God is no respecter of people. And if Paul was able to receive something that I cannot receive, that is not the God that I know. That is why I believe believe that men can preach and women can preach. Praise God. That's why I believe that God worked miracles of healing 2,000 years ago, and I know that he works miracles of healing here in 2023. That's why I believe the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, all of those things that were accessible 2,000 years ago are still accessible today. But what I want to encourage you is that most people get too caught up in the evidence of speaking in tongues and ignore the purpose of speaking in tongues. They ignore the purpose of the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit is that you will speak with another language that you did not learn. However, the purpose of the Spirit is so full and abundantly full of who God is, it will transform your life. Can I encourage you that speaking in tongues on Sunday is not good unless you walk in the fruit and the power of the Spirit Monday through Saturday? Speaking in tongues on Wednesday and cussing somebody out on Thursday, that cannot and should not happen. I'm not going to name names, but there are three pastors in our city that have very distinct and different views of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. One said this recently on a Sunday morning, "I don't have it." He admitted to his church, "I am not filled with the Holy Ghost. I do not speak in other tongues." And he said, "I know that some of you in this church do." He said, "I ask that you would pray for me that I would receive it. But until I do, I ask that you would not do that here. Save that for your homes." It is at that exact moment that I would have grabbed my wife by the hand, went and got my children from children's church, and we would have been on the look for another church, because I can't follow a leader who is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I step out here and say it like this? Whether you ever get filled with the Holy Spirit or not is up to you, but you ought to thank God that your leadership that is leading is full of the Spirit of God, directed by the Spirit of God, guided by the Spirit of God. Here's one: corrected by the Spirit of God, rebuked by the Spirit of God, encouraged by the Spirit of God, reined in by the Spirit of God. You don't ever have to get it, but I'm encouraging you to do all you can to get it. But at the end of the day, I would never follow someone spiritually who claims, "I've never been filled with His Spirit." I've been saying it for years, and it took off a few years ago that people ask me all the day, do you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues to go to heaven? And I've always said, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to stay married. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to raise kids in 2023. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost so you don't backslide, sideslide, quit, and wuss out. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, not so that you can be what God has just called you to be, but so that you can do what God has called you to do. See, I believe that there are things that God has called me to do that without the Spirit of God, I cannot do them. But once the Spirit of God rest on me and comes in me, I can now, like Paul, declare, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." A second pastor said this recently. Bishop was in attendance and told me this from his firsthand account. He said, "When you received Christ, you received His Spirit in its fullness, and there is nothing else to receive." That is the most Jesus you will ever get, is what he said. However, let me remind you what I just made a point to say 3 minutes ago, that when you look at the cross and you look at the upper room, there are two distinct experiences and encounters with God. That is why Paul, when he found disciples, would say, "Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost?" He did not disqualify them as followers of Jesus Christ, but what he did tell them is why did you stop after you step into the kingdom when there is more to be had, there is more to gain, there is more to receive? Again, we have way too many people asking the questions, do I have to be filled with the Spirit to go to heaven? Do I have to be baptized in water to go to heaven? Do I have to tithe and serve to go to heaven? And I always go back, even though it's a different dispensation, I always go back to the thief on the cross who just said yes to Jesus, and Jesus said, forever you will be with me in this day in paradise. But unlike the thief accepted Christ and gave up his life and went to a real place called heaven. Unlike the thief, you and I said yes to Jesus, and we still have to live here. And if I said yes to Jesus, why would I say no to his Spirit? If I said yes to Jesus, remember, his salvation eternally secures your destination in heaven, but his Spirit gives you power today and tomorrow, and the next week, and the next month. And I saved the best for last. This third pastor recently, I read an article. A great pastor of this city in his 60s was reading the passage in the New Testament where Paul said he was eagerly desiring spiritual gifts. He said he prayed every morning for 2 weeks after he had pastored for almost 40 years. He said, God, fill me with your Spirit. I'm eagerly desiring this gift. And at 64 years of age, while he was praying in English one morning, God filled him with his Spirit, and he began to speak and pray in other tongues. And he said, at 64 years of age, as a pastor, I found out another dimension of Jesus Christ. I stepped into his Spirit filled me, and he said, now every day, a part of my day, I pray in English, and then I let the Spirit pray for me. So what is the Spirit? It's one of the manifestations of God. There are so many people that love to argue the Godhead. Let's quit talking about the Godhead, Trinity, and oneness, and let's just remember that without Jesus Christ, you cannot get to heaven. There are so many people that are majoring on minor things, when I want to encourage you and tell you that you should be grateful that the manifestation of the Father sent the manifestation of the Son. And before the Son went back to heaven, he said, I promise you that I'm going to leave you with a comforter, the manifestation of the Spirit. The best way to describe it two ways is, what I've always done is I am one person, but to Mandy, I am her husband. To Tyler and Jaden, I am their dad. And to Michael Johnson, I am his friend. I am one man, but I am manifested in three different ways by however they need me to be in that moment. What's in this bottle? If it gets too cold, what does it turn into? If it gets too hot, what happens? It's all the same. But when it gets too cold, it looks different. It's experienced different. When it gets too hot, oh, that's the Spirit now. That steam starts rolling. You say, well, what about when Jesus was baptized in water and the Bible says that the heavens boomed the voice of God, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. How can you talk about both two manifestations being in the same place at the same time? Easy. Have you ever heard somebody order ice water? Some of you don't like lukewarm water. You want ice water. It's all the same, but you are experiencing them and encountering them in different ways. Can I encourage you, those who pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, but you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you are missing out on a lot of great things that God has for you. You are missing out on a dimension of God that maybe you have not yet stepped into. Ooh, I like popsicles. I like the frozen, but it takes boiling water to cook some good food. And there's some things that God has that are good for you. There are some things that God has that are powerful for you and your future that until you get filled with his Spirit, you will never experience. The Holy Spirit is not something to avoid. It is something to embrace. It is not something to be scared of. It is something to look forward to. And we hear that word ghost, and people say, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? In the Old Testament, it was the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, same Spirit, but now it's the Holy Ghost. Why? What happens for a ghost to be had? Somebody had to die, and that somebody was Jesus. And when Jesus died, he said the same Spirit that raised raised me from the dead is now going to quicken and make alive your mortal body. So I ask you this day, have you received his spirit since you believed? Are you still praying to the Father in the name of the Jesus, but you are void of the Spirit? Genesis chapter 1, let's talk the Word of God. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's a pretty sorry situation to be in. The earth was without form and void. It was empty. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. First thing I want you to write down about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit moves. Because the Holy Spirit is the triune, it is the trifecta, it is the completing of the Godhead that is found in Jesus Christ. And I love this because since it is a person, it is moving. It is not something that you can hold and put in a box and put it on a shelf. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, there is going to be evidence that there is something that you carry that not everybody carries. The Holy Spirit moves. Watch how this plays out. The earth was formed, was void, was dark. The Spirit moved. When the Spirit was moving, the Spirit moved first and God spoke second. Let me remind you, the Spirit moved first and God's word was spoken second. When the Spirit moved and the word of God was inserted into the Spirit, much like the conceiving of a baby, there was something that happened. Can I encourage you, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, more than speaking in tongues on a Sunday morning, you are now full of something that is alive and moving. And that means it's moving on your family, your children. It's moving at your job. Wherever you go, that Spirit is moving. And you say, well, I need it because my family is messed up. Yeah, it's just like the world was. It was dark. It was void. It was without form, but the Spirit was moving. Can I encourage somebody? I know your marriage, you've hit a rough patch right now, but can I encourage you, if you are full of the Spirit of God is moving on him. It's moving on her. It gives us a greater appreciation when you hear somebody say, I need a word. What they're saying is the Spirit's moving, but now I need that catalyst that is going to bring something out of nothing. The Spirit moving is up to God. The Word of God has already been established. There was no man to speak, and so God spoke himself, and he said, let there be. And before he could get the word light out of his mouth, there was something happening all over the cosmos. There was light coming out of nothing. Things that were not formed are being formed out of just thin air, all because the Spirit moved and then the word was delivered and then the miracle happened. Can I encourage you that the Spirit of God is moving? And when the Spirit of God is moving and then you insert the word of God, that is where miracles happen. That is why Living Way is a miracle house. That is why you are miracle people, because we are not going acting like Jesus is still dead. The same Spirit that raised him from the grave is alive in us. And so the Spirit is always moving and the Word of God is always being preached. And if it's not a Sunday morning, that's why you need to declare the Word on Monday. That's why you need to pray the Word on Tuesday. That's why you need to say the word on Wednesday, because the moving of the Spirit, the word of God, let there be miracles happen. So when you see a church that is void of miracles, go all the way to square one. No Spirit. No. Oh, they preach the word, but the word without the Spirit didn't do anything. The Spirit has to be there to intersect with the Word, to make something miraculous happen. The Holy Spirit moves. Number two, the Holy Spirit creates. It creates. See, when we pray things that are so absurd to our flesh, when we pray outlandish prayers, when we pray for cancers to shrivel up, when we pray for prodigals that are stoned out of their mind this morning to come back to Jesus, when we pray for creative miracles, that is, it is absurd to our flesh, but in faith, because the Spirit is moving, the Spirit will create. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, somebody say if. Man, that's a big if. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, Jesus, that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, church, if it dwells in you, not that it's on you, because you're sitting next to some Holy Ghost-filled person on Sunday at 11:55. If the Spirit of God, of Christ, if it dwells in you, dwelling means inhabits, meaning it lives in you. He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth, there it is again, in you. There's a danger in going to church and never becoming the church. Don't you know that your body is the temple? See, it's not a cliche. We are the church, not a cliche. I am his temple. That's why I don't smoke. I'm his temple. That's why I don't drink and carry on. I am his temple. That's why I do my best to walk a life circumspect before God. And I know that you do too. But I've got to encourage people that the Spirit of God on you is very different than the Spirit of God in you. And Romans says right here that when you have the Spirit of God dwelling and living on the inside of you, and it's not a fleeting moment during a worship song, and it's not a fleeting experience when you really need God to do something, but the Holy Spirit has literally taken up residence in your life. He said he will cause your body to be made alive. That's why cancer has no hold on a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. That's why depression cannot stay in a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. That's why anxiety cannot stay in a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. That's why fear cannot stay in a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. Notice I said cannot stay. It might try to visit. It might try to show up. It might try to scooch in. It might try to make room. But the Holy Spirit says, hey, there is no room for you to stay here. And I'm here to tell you, it's not enough to get a little bit. It's not enough to get some on you. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit resurrects. It moves, it creates, it resurrects. What you thought was dead is not dead. It's dead if you look at it through fleshly eyes. But he said, look again in the Spirit. I'm going to resurrect those things that the enemy tried to kill. Some of you have already thrown a funeral for things from 2022. Some of you have already forgotten promises that it looks like the adversary laid waste to, but I'm here to encourage and inspire somebody with the Word of God today that if he can raise Christ from the dead, if that same Spirit can quicken your mortal body, then it can breathe life into any situation that you are connected to. The devil is a liar. It will live. It will breathe again. It is still going to happen. The prodigal's still coming home. God is still going to work a miracle. God is still going to do what he promised he would do. The Holy Spirit is alive. That's why when someone has to tell you they're filled with the Holy Spirit, instead of it being evident, I question whether they're really filled with the Holy Spirit. See, at any point in time, I can switch from English in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, God, for your will to be done in Living Way. I pray that every family would be blessed. I pray that everything that is not of you, God, would fall, and every plan of the adversary would come to naught. But when I run out of English, I can just switch into Yeradabasi, Robosatarabosa, Rabasitarabosa. If that makes you nervous, you need to look again, because it's not for you. You're not supposed to understand it. What are you praying for? I don't know what I'm praying for, but the Spirit makes intercession for the believer. I'm praying for things that I cannot comprehend. I'm praying for things that God has not shown me yet. I'm praying for things that my flesh does not know about or how to contend for. But here's the thing, church. When we don't understand something, we've got two choices. We write it off, or we say, I want to learn more about it. I watch soccer, and I watch hockey about 2 minutes a year. And there's not enough scoring. So you know what I say? Soccer's dumb. Can't believe somebody would watch this for 3 hours and it ends in a tie. That's crazy. But that offends some of you, because some of you grew up playing soccer. You love soccer. You say the same thing about the NFL that I say about the MLS. My cousins always told me, he said, Brandon, if you ever go to a hockey game in person, you'll be a fan for life. I've never done it, so I don't know. But I do know this. There are some of us that write off the Holy Spirit of God for the same reasons. I don't understand it. It's dumb. I don't understand it. It's emotionalism. I don't understand it. That's really not for me. And then sometimes we go to the next point. Anybody that would believe that's crazy. There's a lot of us that are crazy, because we said the same things. I remember 30 years ago, rolling my eyes when people would start speaking in tongues and running the aisles and having this expression. It's not about the expression, but sometimes that alive spirit gets so turned and keyed up in our lives that we don't know what to physically do. So rather than understand it, we just write it off as something else. I've literally had peers at conferences that I've gone to, and I preached about the Holy Ghost. Or I don't pray in tongues a lot on the microphone, because the Bible does talk about the room of the unlearned. I think there's a time and a place for it. I believe the Spirit will encourage you and guide you into when to use it, when not to use it, when it's going to cause more questions than answers. But I remember stepping off of conference platforms and having Baptists and other denominations come up to me and just said, we just don't believe that you can receive that gift. And I said, well, I've received it already. You can't tell me. Well, I don't believe that you'll ever be able to wear white shoes. You got to me too late. I'm wearing them. I don't believe that Dr. Pepper is for you. Well, tell my kidneys that. Every day. You have people saying it's not for now because they've never experienced it. You have people saying, I don't believe in it, because they don't take time to say, God, like the pastor here in town, I want that gift. Give me that gift. God, I'm not weirded out by it. It's not spooky to me. I just don't understand. So, Lord, I pray that you'd give me understanding. You'll stand on your feet today. Bishop and I had a great conversation this week. Actually, ended up spending 2 or 3 hours in his office. We were just talking and doing something we hadn't done in a long time, just talking about theology and talking about church and church growing people and all of these things, discipleship. And this is what I said. I said, for a full gospel church like Living Way, it is a lot harder for us to build the local church and to reach people. Because you've got other churches in town. It's hard enough to get people to come to church on a Sunday morning. But then when you start talking about You're living a life of sin. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to walk an aisle, or you need to bow your head and pray this prayer. That's difficult for someone who's never been to church. And see, those are the people that we're after. We're not after other church folk. We're after the lost. We're after the broken. We're after the atheist, the agnostic. We're after the Jehovah's Witness, the Buddha, the Buddhists, the Muslims. That's who we're after. And I said, man, you think it's hard. That's why I told Bishop, I said, you think it's hard for those churches? I said, we got people coming into Living Way that we're telling them, if you don't know Jesus, you've got sin in your life, you're going to hell, and you need to meet Jesus. And we want you to leave your seat and come down to the front. That's a hard sell. Then we're saying, hey, go upstairs, put on a robe, get into water, and trust somebody that you've never met to put you underwater. That's a hard sell. And then you bring them to the altar and people are anointing them with oil. And you got people like Michael Johnson who are Old Testament anointing. You're getting the whole bottle. Man, he gives me oil. I got enough for my car, for my mower. We're slathering them up. People falling out. And then we say, would you like to receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? All these other churches are just trying to get people to show up. We're doing our best to get people to the cross, to the river, and to the upper room. I'm going to end. I got so much. That's why I couldn't do it in 2 weeks. So much information and so much word and scripture that I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage somebody today that you've been doing life with the water and the ice, but you don't have no steam on your life. You don't have any spirit on your life. One of my friends said the other day, oh, it's Cruz.